All right. Good morning. It's bright and early Monday morning. We have the diehards out here right now. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jacob, Coleman, Wade.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
All right. Welcome. If you've not been here before, this would make our sixth episode of Bitcoin Veterans Spaces. And we're going to be here every Monday through Friday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, talking a little bit about Bitcoin, talking about what's going on with Bitcoin in the world, and just sharing some things there. If you're a veteran and you are interested in Bitcoin in any way, we've got a group called Bitcoin Veterans. It's up here in the top left corner. You can follow that and join our chat groups. It's a great place to learn about stuff. We have a daily intelligence bulletin that comes out every single day. There should be a copy of it in the nest. You can go check that out if you want. Morning to Terrence in the audience. Both Terrences in the audience. The other Jordan. Opdoc, Hunter, what's up? Sultana, good morning. The Ilix, is it the Ilix or Thelix? Dude, you've been around for a long, long time. Still don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm sorry about that. Long time listener. Bob out in the audience, good morning. Terrence and Terrence, good morning, guys.
Good morning, brother. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, my man.
Outstanding. What a weekend.
Yeah, did anything happen?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Oh, boy. Ton of stuff going on. Let's hit some things with the DIB, and then we'll just keep rolling here. The first thing that I wanted to bring up was that apparently NASA sucks and Boeing sucks. There's two astronauts that have been stranded aboard the International Space Station, the ISS, ever since their Starliner spacecraft experienced 5 thruster malfunctions and 5 helium leaks. So I guess the Starliner is a Boeing thing, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so I guess these astronauts left the Earth from Florida on June 5th. They were initially slated to return to Earth on June 13th, but it doesn't look like that's happening. And as it turns out, NASA's administrator Bill Nelson has announced at a press conference on Saturday that they are going to be rescued essentially by SpaceX. It's got to be brutally embarrassing if you're NASA or Boeing.
I think one of the big issues with it, not that they only got stranded up there, is but that they can't remove that Boeing spacecraft from that station. So it's going to be taking up one of their docking stations indefinitely.
Oh, really? It's stuck. Wow, that's mind-blowing. So they're probably going to have to come up with some kind of plan or some kind of vehicle to go up there and peel that thing off of there. That is kind of ridiculous, actually.
Yeah, but once you peel it off, I don't know what the plan is, right? Because you can't just let it fly around out there, because I would imagine it would cause a lot of damage if it broke apart.
Yeah, for sure. Like one of the guys that used to come on when I used to host back in the day on Cafe B, we had this guy named Wicked, and he used to like freak out about that whole thing. Where if you have debris in space, it causes a chain reaction. What is that called? Anyway, the whole thing could like really get messy. Good morning, Gabe Lord. I'm sorry. I already said good morning to Gabe. Good morning to Jordan Gambrell. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing this morning?
Pretty good. It was a crazy and eventful weekend. Jordan, thanks for posting that link to RFK's speech. So for those of you who don't know, RFK did a speech. I guess it was Friday, right? And he made some major announcements, basically announced that he was dropping out of the presidential race. Also announced that he's going to be backing up Trump. He's endorsing Trump, and it looks like he might end up with some sort of a cabinet position in the Trump administration. What would, do you guys know anything about the position, and what are your thoughts on the speech?
I thought the biggest takeaway of this speech was how much he just railed on the DNC and the corporate press, and how much that was not covered by the corpus.
Yeah, it was. I tried watching a couple links that people were posting on X, and you could see where it was streaming from CNN and even Fox. If they were talking ill about either of their platforms, they cut in with their host and started talking over them during his speech live.
Seems like the cabinet position might be something newly created to go after the FDA and Big Pharma. He's talking about the food and how it's been poisoning us.
Yeah, I caught that too. And it seemed like his individual, I guess, his announcement speech for withdrawing from the presidential race was, I mean, it was a lot of the same messaging, of course, that he's had, which is good. He's been consistent. But I believe that his intention really was to make it clear that he's not planning on going away. He's not just going to back off into the bushes like Homer Simpson. He's going to stick around. He's going to do some work. And something interesting about his appearance at the Trump rally was that seemed to be all that he really focused on was FDA, Big Pharma, healthy foods. And so it was almost like a preview. It seemed like, you know, he's gonna go ahead and make everybody healthy. And he had a very strong message of, we're doing this for the kids. It's for the kids. And there was, that was really what stood out to me the most. So I'm thinking there, I agree with you. I think there'll be something like that in his future. But I don't know who saw the announcement where Trump, in the same speech, Trump announced their, I don't remember what the name of it was, but essentially some type of a committee to, you know, to solve assassination attempts and so forth, and to release all that information. Wouldn't that be cool if RFK Jr. was put in charge of that? Come on. I mean, who better?
Right?
Yeah.
What if Trump goes to the guy? What if he goes, okay, unlimited security clearance. There is nothing you're not allowed to see. Give him access to everything. He can ask questions of anybody. Oh my gosh.
Right.
And then America found out that the CIA is naughty.
Oh no. Take him out in the streets and line him up. Here we go.
Duh. You know, it's funny to kind of think about. It's funny and it's not. I mean, the fact that we're making jokes about it tells you a little bit about how bad it's become, right? And what happens to the CIA after that? Like, okay, just go with it for a second. Here's the scenario. Okay, some people are going to be like, that's a far-right conspiracy theory. Just, like, go with it for a second. Let's say that he does, right? Trump wins. RFK is placed in this position where his job is to, you know, do all this research. He's given unlimited access to everything. No clearance stoppages to access any information anywhere he wants to go in the government, in any agency, and just starts digging. Oh my gosh. What would that man come up with?
I don't think it just stops with the CIA though, right? Mm-mm. You would find how intertwined all of these agencies are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would need to bring Whitney Webb onto his staff.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd go ahead, Gabe.
No, that's all I got, man. I'm just sitting over here cracking up. But just imagine it, you know. And it's, I mean, imagine the type of firepower. Well, that's probably not even a good choice of words anymore, but fuck it. Imagine the type of firepower that he could bring, that Trump could bring onto his team when he's got someone like RFK Jr. He's bringing in people like, you know, Vivek and Tulsi Gabbard. And then even if he does, you know, start reaching out to people a little bit more on the fringes like Whitney Webb, what could happen? And I'm seriously, you know, it's almost... It almost wouldn't be too unbelievable for to see these things that happen, just given the course of events that have led us up to where we are right now. I mean, this we're living in a really, really very interesting movie, and it wouldn't be too shocking.
On the other hand, I think that it's difficult to understand how much they would let come out, because you'd really rile people up for, you know, seemingly no good reason. And I don't mean it that way. It's just, you know, if you're a sitting president, you don't want to create more problems than you're fixing. So how much of it would they actually release? You know, I'm sure they'll game theory it out and see what makes sense, because some of this stuff would really, you know, mess with people.
Yeah, maybe that's what's needed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure I buy this argument that keeping secrets from the American people to protect them is somehow a good idea. I'm not sure I buy that. I think the opposite is true.
That was the whole JFK speech, like, about how secrecy is not good, and the people who try to tell you that the secrecy is needed are the reasons why it's not needed. And that all goes back to JFK. So it kind of comes full circle. Like, why, if RFK was put in that position, why would he not just be like, here's everything?
Well, so far, inevitably, what ends up happening so far is that, you know, the people with the inside information who say that it's being withheld from the American people for the American people's protection end up using that information somehow to their advantage, and you start creating all of this corruption. And so, like, I just don't buy it anymore. There needs to be a reckoning. There needs to be a full accounting of all the nefarious, weird shit our government's been up to for the last fucking 70 years. All of it. And we need to come clean. You know, did you see that Sean Ryan interviewed Trump? That's coming out. I saw a preview for that. Holy shit, that looks like that thing is going to be a smoker.
Yeah, it comes out today at noon.
Today. It's coming out today. That's going to be good. And they were kind of getting at this a little bit. You know, I saw Sean Ryan tweeted this out, might have been a month ago, but it gives you an idea into the way the man's thinking. He's like, what would it take for you to trust the United States government again? Like, I sat down and I noodled that one for a minute, because I was like, first of all, he's automatically assuming people don't trust the government, which is interesting, because that tells you something about the state of the current Overton window right now, right? So that's the first question. What would it take for you to trust the United States government again? Automatically assuming you don't trust the government. How bad do you not trust the government is the question, I guess, next, because that's what his question really is getting at, right? What would it take? What would have to be done for your faith to be restored? I don't know about you guys, but I made a pretty large laundry list of shit that I was like, they'd have to do all this stuff. And it was a lot. And, like, it's the kind of stuff that I think most people would look at the list and be like, dude, you're like, there's no way. Like, that's wild. And I think that's going to have to happen. Like, what else are we going to do, guys?
I think we need Bitcoin to help bring the trust back to the government. Because without the transparency that Bitcoin brings, if we're just still on this fiat standard, I can't trust how my government's spending the money. That's a huge part of it for me.
Yeah, huge part of it, right? You don't know what they're spending the money on. According to them, they don't know what they're spending the money on either, if anybody believes that nonsense.
And someone made the point about RFK, about the media coverage. I've got some grandparents that are just hardcore Democrats, and I reached out to them, and their only thing they could say was talking about how he's remaining on the battleground states. So right away, I could see what the mainstream media fed to them. So I'm a little, you know, blackpilled on how much of an impact this RFK is going to have if the Democrats aren't going to see that speech in full. You know, it's kind of like he's just in our echo chamber saying everything that we like to hear, but the people that need to hear him, I don't know if they're actually getting the message.
I think this move by RFK that was telegraphed or it was leaked.
I mean, people can see the speech if they want, right? Well, I think your grandparents are confused if it's a miscommunication. I don't think the mainstream media said that he's going to be on battleground states. He's backing out of those states. He's staying on the ballot in non-swing states so that he can kind of help build a third party in the future.
Yeah, I may have said that part wrong. I meant that, like, they're painting him out to, like, manipulating the votes to benefit Trump. Like, that was the only talking point they received on the whole RFK speech. I thought that was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, that would be. That's telling right there, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the power you have, though, as a third-party candidate with significant traction. You know, obviously he's not going to win, but he could, you know, sway the election one way or the other, because it's probably going to be a close election down to the swing voters in swing states. So that's just his right. So
yeah, of course. There's something that he said about that. He goes, "I promised the American people that I would withdraw from the race if I became a spoiler." And he goes, "In my heart, I no longer believe that I have a realistic path to electoral victory in the face of this relentless, systematic censorship and media control." Boy, is there a bit of that going around nowadays. He goes, "I'm going to remove my name from the ballot in competitive battleground states, leave it on in others, letting voters back him, in solid blue or solid red states where he wouldn't affect the outcome." In some polling, RFK had around 5%. That's a chunk. Shout outs to DR in the audience, Randy K in the audience. He's the one that prepares our DIB, by the way. I saw Shane Hazel out there a minute ago.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember, but I think it was last week, there was that news story that was leaked that RFK Jr. was going to try and join Harris's team in a cabinet position, but he was rejected. And that seems to be, you know, the story came out to be false, but that seems to be the talking point from the left now, is that, oh, he tried to join Harris first, and when she rejected him, he went over to try and beg for a job from Trump. So I tried to dig in a little bit about who leaked that article, and the only sources I could find was it was published by Aaron Pelish and Jim Acosta of CNN. That's where this story first originated from. So just kind of interesting.
All right, you guys ready to move on? Did
I have a quick thing.
Go ahead. So
when you guys were talking about the mainstream media, one interesting fact is Megyn Kelly, who is, I believe, fired or just pushed out at Fox. She's now a top 10, kind of her podcast is ranked in the top 10, and she's done really well. She has more views per month, her stock, than like CBS, ABC, and NBC News in total, with a staff of just 6 people. So it just shows that if you're a brand, you have power to be a more independent voice.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Like, those firings didn't really have the effect that I thought the networks thought they would, right? When I say those firings, plural, I'm talking about, like, Tucker, same kind of story, right? They would fire Tucker, and they're like, the woke advertisers don't want to pay for your show. And turns out the guy gets, like, 100 times more reach by leaving Fox, you know, doing his own thing. It's amazing. I think Tucker's got more reach than anybody right now, no? Some of his stuff gets like 250 million-ish views.
I think that number's a little inflated because it's counting views on X versus like people going to YouTube and watching a video for several minutes. I think they just count people who kind of go in and out. Like, I
don't understand what you're saying. You're saying a view on X is not a view?
I'm saying people might go on X for 2 seconds, or they get kicked out because they have Twitter, you know, issues, technical issues, which seem to happen.
Yeah, okay, so let's be conservative. Let's say it's half. Cut it in half, you know, of all the quote views that you see. If it's only half, it's still over 100 million, which is still more than 10 times the largest show on earth prior to that, which was Joe Rogan's show, at about 11 million views per episode, right? It's pretty insane, the reach, if it is to be believed.
Yeah, any way you dice it, the dude is still crushing it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of degree. I'd want to see apples to apples, meaning like Spotify or YouTube impressions compared to others.
I don't understand why you give so much credibility to Spotify or YouTube. They're both fucking super woke organizations.
Rogan, listening to Joe Rogan and Peter Thiel on Spotify. I don't know how woke that is. Didn't they have an exclusive contract with?
Just because they're on it doesn't mean that they're not adjusted based on reach. Do you understand?
Yeah. So, okay, let me put it this way. I would want to see X to X, Spotify to Spotify, like for all these kind of folks, YouTube to YouTube and all the other kind of media that are out there. Yeah, he's crushed in on X. And then
you'd have to make it a fair experiment, you'd have to compare it to somebody else that also is doing all of those platforms and check their ratings before and then check their ratings after and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
It's pretty much bro science at this point, but anecdotally, pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's very popular.
It feels like there's a lot of gaslighting going on the left, because it seems like all these conservative commentators are crushing it, and the left's numbers are just pathetic. But their base is being told how popular they are, and they're the campaign of joy and happiness and all this BS, and it just seems like a lot of gaslighting going on the other side.
Oh, the theatrics are incredible. You see, like, at the DNC, how they run the show, like, with all the different, like, the hip-hop stars come out, and they're all excited, and it's like, we're so awesome! Pretty brutal. But, I mean, I guess they play games like that on both sides, right? There's, amp you up games on the right, too.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder how long the charade can go on.
We're in that world now where it's like, you can spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what are the charades. Unfortunately, there's just and we kind of knew this was coming. We've been talking about this for years, especially with the advent of AI, the acceleration of AI, the further use of AI. I mean, just all the stuff. AI is very good at doing a lot of like heavy lifting type citation type stuff very, very quickly, way faster than humans. And the disadvantage humans have in this situation is that we cannot put that number of facts together to support a particular argument that quickly, just off the top of our head, generally speaking. And humans are convinced by this, literally. Like, this is the way the human brain works, is if you go fact, 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 opinion, that opinion is going to carry a lot of weight because you got a lot of facts backing it up. At least that's how it appears. But those, as we all know, the AIs aren't always unbiased, man. They some of the facts that they provide or don't provide, it's like I'm going to see this, I'm not going to see that. Like, it's pretty bizarre. Coleman, what do you got?
I was just thinking about that Joe Kernan interview he did with Elizabeth Warren, and just the gaslighting and just how there's nothing is real anymore. Do we have the clip where we could play it?
It's just the way it is. And to think that the government can decide when prices are too high or too low, the grocery chains have a 2% profit margin. How about Apple with 50% or 40%? How do you decide? This is not the government's place to do these things. It's a fool's errand, and it also is, you're using it to divert the real cause of inflation over the last 4 years, which was because you had demand after the pandemic, which obviously, there was a lot because we reopened, and all of a sudden there's supply chain issues, and the demand is juiced by all the stimulus from the IRA and all the other spending that we did.
There have been many causes for inflation. We all understand that. That's where I started my answer in talking about this. But one of the causes of prices going up is that there are companies that have market dominance that have said, oh, this is a moment when everyone is talking about...
Okay, give me another. Name another one. Give me an instance.
Please, can I please finish my argument here?
Okay, go ahead.
Wow, Joe's pissed, huh?
It got worse, too. He kept arguing with Elizabeth Warren, which is just, Jacob, I don't know if you stopped it there on purpose, but I feel like the best part of the clip is still coming.
I think that was the only clip we had.
That is the clip I have, Terrence, but if you don't mind, shoot it over to the Veterans Channel, and I'll play the rest of it. or feel free to.
Okay, yeah, I'll go grab it.
The one thought I came away with after watching that was, man, Joe's just tired of the bullshit talkie. They're just getting tired of the nonsense and the gaslighting, as you mentioned, Coleman.
Yeah, and he brought up a pretty good point, you know, and it kind of made her rethink her argument. But in the other clips that we're going to play here, he brought up, like, then what happened for the last 40 years? Like, why wasn't price gouging a thing for the last 40 years? Why is it just the last 2-3 years that this has become an issue? And she didn't really have an answer for him on that.
Yeah. Because they're just making it up right now, right? Because that's not the reason that prices go up. Like, this is, it's literally the opposite of the truth. And this happens almost every single time. You know, when you have a fiat currency, the government prints shit tons of it. We're at a trillion new dollars every 100 days now. They spend it on God knows who, what they're spending it on now. And then the money implodes in purchasing power. Nobody can buy shit. Everybody's upset with it. Groceries have gone up in some cases, seems like 3-4x in price. Auto insurance, home insurance, 50% higher, 100% higher, 200% higher. Electricity is high. Like, everything is higher. And they're like greedy corporations. They want to blame a couple of greedy corporations, and in many cases that have, like, you know, near percent, you know, maybe even 1% margin, business margin, 1.5%, maybe less than that. Maybe it's 0.5%.
Yeah, I think Lynn Alden posted that the grocery stores that they're going after only have a margin of 1-2%. Like, they're really not high at all.
Yeah, that's just part of the food chain, right? So the main problem, I think we all agree, is spending, low rates, easy money, debasement, money printing, and debt. But it is true that they haven't been enforcing the antitrust laws that have been on the books against, not necessarily grocery chains, it's more like the food suppliers. Like, if you look at all the brands, even for organic foods or whatever, they're all owned by one of the 7 or 4, or whatever it is, big food companies. So there is market power and oligopoly power at that level. And the question is, can you go after those folks to maybe reduce inflation? She's not very good at articulating
her. Yeah, but the point is, though, they're using that as a distraction. This is my point. Because if you, okay, even if what you say is true, this is the classic MMT-er argument. They're like, it's way more complicated than that. There's like a billion different moving parts. It's like they do that on purpose to obfuscate what's happening. They want to confuse the shit out of everybody.
Yes.
All right. If you took price increases across the board, mm-hmm. and you assigned weights to things, you know, how much on a scale from 1 to 100, how much of prices increases in the grocery store chain because of monopolistic practices? And how much of that is because of money printing? I'd say it's like 99% money printing and 1% all that other shit. And it's like, this is standard tactics with economists today. They'll bring up all the other shit and they'll treat you like you're an idiot. Oh, you're too stupid to understand. There's way more things that go into the inflation calculation than what you're talking about. It's not just money printing. Look, we get that. But the majority of it is fucking money printing. No?
Yeah.
Anyone disagree with that?
A vast majority. But even if it's like 99% or 90% or 80%, I don't know what the percentage is. But if it's not 99 and it's closer to 90, then you can do something. Where she's dishonest is what you said and what I started with, which is we all agree that the main problem by far, like the vast majority, 80, 90, 99%, 99.9%, I don't know, is money printing and overspending by the government.
Yeah, the issue I take with it, of course, is that they obviously will never admit that they're the ones causing it. they have to blame something else and somebody else, right? That's the part that pisses me off. It's like, Jesus, guys.
Anecdotally, I think it's changing because I met one-on-one either by phone or in person with very successful terrorist supporters for Into Bitcoin or Into Bitcoin and Crypto. And they both said, yeah, fiscal and monetary situation in the U.S. is a disaster and can't be fixed. So it's just a matter of time before, you know, disaster strikes. Hopefully we can delay that by decades. More Americans can have, more American people, that's what I care about, can have Bitcoin before disaster strikes. Otherwise, each of us do not have enough Bitcoin because we're going to have to bail out all these family members non-immediate because they didn't listen to us.
All you Bitcoiners and your internet, magic internet money. Go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say what I find interesting is if you go back and read what Jimmy Carter said when this same stuff was going on in the 70s, that anti-inflation program that he had a address to the nation, televised speech. And if you read what he said, he actually admitted that it was reckless government spending and, you know, fat in the regulatory bodies, and that they were going to do everything that they could to trim. But, you know, there were other things that they wanted to do as well, like price fixing and those types of things. And so I just think it's interesting that now we've come, you know, all round back to where we were, and the same party doesn't say the same things. They're not even admitting it. It's just simple, stupid talking points for stupid people.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. It's simple talking points for stupid people. And unfortunately, there's a large portion of the population of the United States who are stupid. Therefore, that shit works on them. Oh, that's sad.
The government chooses the monopoly right up until it turns communist, and then it weeds out the last remaining few and then takes control of everything.
Any other closing comments on RFK and what he might be able to do? All right, on we go. This is a little one. It's kind of a segue. But apparently, a bunch of the Secret Service employees that were part of Trump's detail, they're all on administrative duties now. They've been desked.
Just a symptom of a bigger problem, right? They don't get rid of anybody who can't do their job. They just keep them and stash them away for a while until they're reactivated. So the government doesn't get any smaller. It just keeps growing, and it's just a symptom of a bigger problem.
Yeah, you would think they'd get fired, right? There's no firing because you screwed up and the one job you had, you didn't do.
We got to keep our budgets.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard it that they pulled Kennedy's Secret Service detail once he's...
Yeah.
It is true?
No, I heard the same rumor.
If you remember, he didn't have detail for a long time, and then they finally did it after Trump had the attempt on his life. So I think, you know, he was paying for private detail as it was.
I think after the assassination attempt on Trump, he was awarded...
correct. Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Little off topic, but 3 years ago, today was when the 13 soldiers lost their life in Afghanistan. They're having a memorial there in DC right now for them this morning.
Is that for the withdrawal? That's the anniversary of the withdrawal?
Yes, where the 13 service members lost their lives when we were withdrawing at Abbey Gate.
Yeah. See, again, we were talking about faith in government or trust in government. And it's like, I don't know, man, mistakes were made. We've done a lot of really dumpster fire, Charlie Foxtrot type stuff in the last couple of years. It's pretty bad. You guys see that Wyoming apparently is looking to launch a, quote, dollar dependent stable coin in Q1 of 2025. I read that this morning. I was just shaking my head. I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, unbelievable. I mean, I guess they're looking at companies like US, you know, whoever makes you, who makes USDC? I don't even know. And then you've got Tether, you know, that are, these things are widely used apparently for international trade, and there's huge demand for them. And so some of these companies are making money hand over fist, basically, which is wild. I'm talking billions and billions of dollars. So according to this, excuse me, the digital asset aims to provide faster and cheaper transactions for individuals and businesses in the state. And the governor, Mark Gordon, is emphasizing the importance of adopting this dollar-dependent stablecoin to stabilize the market and bring debt onshore. You know what it reminds me of is, I don't know if you guys have studied this, but in the very beginning of the United States, prior to the central bank, there was this like constant war going on between whether we were going to have a central bank or not have a central bank. There was private banks, and there was, you know, there was this period of time where the presidents fought. I think it was it Jackson? I don't remember. There was one of them that his whole presidency, basically, he spent battling, you know, the idea of having a central bank even at all. And for a while, a lot of the regional banks started printing their own money. And this reminds me of that. It's like everybody climbs Mount Stupid, right? Apparently, even governments climb Mount Stupid. Everybody's got to go through that phase where they're like, oh, I'm here to fix Bitcoin. I'm smarter than all of you. I've figured this out, and I'm going to make my own thing.
I would assume Cynthia Loomis had something to do with this, or at least is in the ear of this policy or whatever's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if she, what her role in this is. Anybody have any insight?
Yeah, I think that's an assumption. She's involved. Maybe she is, maybe she's not.
Anytime I hear talk of stable coins, it gets me real nervous. I remember, you know, Trump at the Nashville convention slipped out stable coins a couple times in that speech. And then I was listening to, I think it was Whitney Webb talking to somebody about, you know, how it's just another way of doing a central bank digital currencies, or kind of that version, a privatized version, where there's all the surveillance that comes with that. So really nervous about Bitcoin getting wrapped up in that.
Well, the surveillance thing is like, it's all kind of full tilt right now, right? Those are the other things that happened over the weekend. Like, first of all, Simply Bitcoin, which is a show that's done by a good friend of mine, Nico. Apparently YouTube deplatformed them. And Nico's been working on that thing for years. Thousands and thousands of hours. In fact, our producer, Jacob, also works with Nico, doing some stuff for Nico. It's unbelievable, man. He's like one of the most well-known and prolific content creators on YouTube in the Bitcoin space. And they yank him off the platform. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I was trying to see how many, like, what his followers were, how many videos, and what I could find. He had over 1,060 videos made on his YouTube channel, 7.6 million views, and right around 45,000 followers. So it wasn't a small channel by any means.
It's really wild. So apparently he's going to be continuing to live stream using Twitter, and I think he's rolling over to Rumble. He's been posting quite a bit on Nostr lately, and I'm just starting to take a look at Nostr too, because like, we use Twitter a lot, but there's no reason that we couldn't get rugged from Twitter, whether it's on Spaces or whether it's for our video podcast, you know? So, man, these decentralized systems are looking more and more required over time, don't they? Pavel Durov, the CEO of Telegram, was just arrested in France, I guess. So he landed. I don't know why he landed. Maybe he was getting gas or something. And they arrested him. And like, there's this really like full court press going on. If you're a CEO or you're a developer or you're someone who builds technology for freedom, like, the states are like targeting these guys. And that is not a good sign.
It really does test your resolve, right? Because it's effectively it's harassment. I mean, sure, they can come up with charges, but I mean, really, you know, if you're a billionaire, it kind of, I mean, it really makes your life inconvenient. And so how much do you believe in the cause versus your own freedom?
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, he's accused of failing to take action to curb the criminal use of his platform. I mean, that is just wild.
I guess email's screwed then, too. So they're going to go after Microsoft and Google and any of these other companies that provide email, because there's all kinds of scams and frauds that happen through email.
Really, the difference comes down to what platform is cooperating with spying on citizens and what platform is not, right?
Yeah, well, they go after politicians who use their Gmail to do corrupt things.
So, I mean, clearly there's holes, right, in the reasoning behind why you would prosecute somebody for this, basically maintaining freedom tech and maintaining ways for human beings to freely interact with each other, that, you know, it doesn't hold water. What it ends up coming down to is what we were talking about before. Like, there's a large chunk of the population who are just dumb and they fall for it. Like, they can gaslight the shit out of people. They have control of most of the mainstream media. Therefore, they can create seemingly any reality, apparently, that they choose. And a lot of people fall for it.
I find it interesting, though, that it seems like there's a big push for Russia to try and get him released. But he renounced his Russian citizenship in 2014.
Yeah, Suzanne was telling me earlier, he's got like multiple citizenships. He's got like a Dubai citizenship. He's got like two others as well. He's got citizenships in multiple places.
Yes. I didn't see Dubai.
It's kind of interesting. You know, he's in a really bad situation, because now he's in a situation where the EU wants to lock him up and the Russians, you know, are kind of ambivalent about the whole thing. So, because they tried to, if you just read his Wikipedia, I mean, this is where I got, you know, that information on him. So, might be with a grain of salt, but, you know, they tried to ban Telegram, I think, twice, and it eventually didn't work, and they had to reinstate it. But, you know, they're no friend to him, so I think he's in a bad spot where he's getting pincered one way or the other.
Well, it just goes to show you, I mean, is he or isn't he, right? You say he's in a bad spot where he's pincered because he can't do this, can't do that, but the world's a really big place. You know, he's got citizenships in Dubai, my understanding, St. Kitts, right? So, like, the question becomes, do you have to physically go to all of these different places? Because clearly the world is turning into this thing where, like, you're either on the side of tyranny or you're on the side of freedom. Even countries are lining up behind this idea right now. I mean, El Salvador's president, Bukele, just came out and said, it's like a big deal. He goes, El Salvador is not only the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, but we also guarantee that you won't be arrested, censored, or have your assets seized for exercising your rights to free speech. There's no property tax. So, like, while all this stuff is going down, Bukele's pointing out how incredibly corrupt and tyrannical Western governments have become. And of all places you can imagine as a beacon of freedom in the world, it's like Bukele standing up and saying, hey, you can talk, you can say what you want here. It's cool.
Right. And if you guys trying to get businesses to go there. And then once he, do you really trust that he'd be in a situation if these companies were in his country and wants to use their data and they refuse, then he's going to be just as nice? I mean, I think that's a little naive.
I'm not sure I understood what the hell you just said. Who?
So that's what happened in Russia, is they wanted to use his data from Telegram, and they wanted backdoors, and that's why they ended up banning the app, because he refused. And so if you get these, you know, I don't really trust Bukele. I mean, I get what he's saying, and he's trying to, you know, market his country as this freedom place. That's great, but that's because they have nothing right now. So once they had something and they needed, you know, somebody to play by their rules, Bukele's, you know, just as strong man as these other guys when it comes to cracking down on crime. Like, if he
You're cutting out, Texas, because you're driving. So here's what we've learned about. This is what we've learned about spaces and driving is that it doesn't work real well. If you're driving and you want to join a spaces, what ends up happening is as you're going, you cross cell towers. And every time you cross a cell tower, you start to drop and do weird things as far as spaces is concerned. Wade, what's up?
A person's only as good as their word and their record. And so far, you know, we can say that we can't trust Bukele in the future, but so far he hasn't done a bad job and he's pretty much kept his word as far as I know. Unless somebody has something they'd like to share on that.
I don't know. It's not just that. It's like everybody is always like, I don't trust that guy. It's like, okay. So you don't trust him. That does not, like, in any way refute the earlier points about what's happening, the decentralization of freedom versus the centralization of freedom. And you're starting to see nation states align on one side or another of the line of either tyranny or freedom.
I do trust him. I just don't have a reason not to yet. But, you know, that could change, but it may not. I'm not going to
act like I wasn't attacking you, bro. I was just like talking about it. Bob, what's up?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know if you guys saw this. It's kind of like hidden news. But the State Department is trying to push out a new rule, the U.S. State Department, about infrastructure as a service and KYCing everybody who uses basically any service for communication. Like, you know, again, we were talking about Gmail, Microsoft Exchange, anybody who is providing that service or providing that service to smaller providers, where smaller providers white label it or resell it, they're pushing out this new rule. And I put it in the chat if anybody wants to. I didn't put it in the Nest, but I put it in the chat. The new proposed rule where they would KYC anyone who's using any of these services. So essentially you wouldn't be able to sign up for an email account without proving who you are anymore, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's extremely crazy. But what happens when they do that, really? I mean, Proton Mail, for example, is extremely popular as a, you know, as freedom tech. It's basically encrypted email that lots of freedom tech people use. Their jurisdiction is Switzerland. And again, like, it comes down to, you know, if nations basically say this app is not allowed, how do they enforce that, really? They do it through essentially the phones, right? Like, so you're either Apple or you're Android, generally speaking. They don't want an app to be used. They basically just say, hey, you don't make it available on these devices. And you essentially kill the traffic that you can identify going in and out of the country, right? For that particular app. But see, this is where all the freedom tech stuff comes into play. This is where you've got VPNs. This is where you've got, you know, all the things that are popping up. Do people use VPNs less or more nowadays? Do people use things like Telegram and Signal less or more nowadays? They're kind of creating their own situation, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I think all this just kind of accelerates the plan of smaller state governments. You're going to start seeing just pushback from the states, well, here in the U.S. anyways. And you'll start to see, like, Texas say, this is enough, we're done.
Yeah, more and more, you're starting to see this play out as, like, a nation-state kind of game theory event. The founder of Rumble, the CEO, Chris Pavlovsky, he left Europe after French police arrested the Telegram CEO. Like, this dude's like, yo, I'm not hanging around here. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, like, this is a real, I mean, it's a real thing. There are guys calling for the arrest of Elon Musk over this recently. I I mean, that's kind of where they're trying to push the Overton window, where it would be acceptable to arrest Elon Musk.
Well, especially like in England, that's where I think they were calling for it because of all the uprisings.
No, sir. There are people here in America calling for it now. They're basically pointing to what they did in France, and they're saying, look, they did it over there. It's reasonable to arrest Elon.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I had heard that they were doing it in England, you know, a few weeks ago. So not really surprised that they're calling for it here as well.
So out of curiosity, how many of you guys fired up or looked at your Noster stuff over the weekend after all this happened?
I think we need to get someone on here or do something to help with a Noster space. I just recently got back into Noster again, and all of my nodes and everything, or my relays, were all out of sync. So,
dude, definitely. That'll be the way to get Gary to come back to Twitter, is to get him here to, you know, do regular spaces to teach people how to go on Noster. He'd come back to Twitter for that.
Let's set it up.
Walker would be another good one. Walker and Carla.
For sure. Hey, Wade, do you get your hand up?
Sorry, no.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left. Want to hit some partner mentions here, and then we'll go with closing comments before we wrap up for the day. So first up, we've got SLNT, Silent. These guys do Faraday bags. So basically, they're bags that are made with a Faraday metallic mesh. And what it does is you can put electronics inside of it, like your phone or your hard wallets, and seal them up, and no radio signals go in or out. It's pretty interesting stuff. It'll also protect against EMPs. So like for those of you who are out there who are OPSEC minded, who are very serious about the protection of your electronics, here's a thought. You take your hardware wallets, your key electrical stuff, whether that might be ham radios, your mesh-tastic devices, whatever, keep a copy of those in a Faraday bag. And in the Faraday bag, you put it also inside of waterproof, dustproof cases if you're a veteran and you think about those kind of things. Just, you know, a little extra protection. SLNT.com/BTCVets. Also, Black Sheep Ammunition. Those guys are awesome. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated. Solasatoshi.com. They do the bit axes. Solasatoshi.com. And then finally, Punchplate.com. They do steel plates. Really good steel plates. I like them. All right, let's go with closing comments. We've got Pleb, Bitcoin hobbyist, back up on the stage. Good morning.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask you a couple of questions. So on the note of the founder and CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov, there are a couple of points which are a bit concerning to me. They might be FUD, and that's why I just wanted to ask you what you thought, if they're true and what and so on. But there are statements which say that Pavel met with Vladimir Putin in Azerbaijan on August 20th. And secondly, that there are Telegram servers in Russia. So it might be fake news and whatnot. I just wanted to hear your comments on that. Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody up here knows. Does anybody up here know? Don't think so. I mean, it's fair to say that just because somebody meets with the president of a country, that doesn't necessarily imply anything. I mean, bottom line is
agreed,
that,
of course, yeah.
I mean, there are people who run companies that maybe what they're doing is important enough for a president of a country to want to talk to them. Stuff happens every day, right? I'm not sure that that means anything. And then as far as location of a server, not sure that means anything either. Because, like, you got to put it someplace, right? I mean, unless you've got access to satellites, it's going on the terrestrial Earth somewhere, which means it's in somebody's jurisdiction. So, like, I don't know. I don't know that you can draw any conclusions or even causation, you know, reasonably accurate causation from any of that. Anybody else? Closing comments? Freedom Attack, man. It's getting more and more important, it seems like.
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
I was just saying, I was in my Noster this weekend, checking it out, poking around. Haven't been in there in a year. And I'm like, I might need to learn how to use this thing.
Man, and that's a really good point. I think it's worth revisiting is that we get so accustomed to using the platforms that we have and having the, you know, the voice that we have or the influence that we have. And I mean, the reality is it can be taken away instantly without warning. And they have no obligation and we have no right to receive any such warning. Those things can just be taken out from under us and then our voices are gone, or our sources of information or the echo chambers in which we reside. It's just not there anymore. So having different layers of contingency plans in place is helpful, because you know, you can find yourself feeling cut off instantly from all of your sources of information and all of your main methods of communication as well. And when it comes to Telegram also, this, I mean, regardless of what the finer details are, which, you know, some will emerge, some will not, the fact is that it's a continuing shift of the precedence that is set, that is taking us further down the road of making it very clear to us that there are powers in place that can do that sort of thing. And that when you step out of line and when you step on the wrong toes, they will go after you. And they will, in some ways make an example out of you, because that's part of what this does. They're making an example out of this person. And whatever the, you know, initiative, whatever the motives are behind this, it's sending a very clear message that those that are going to take steps like he takes steps, you know, if you go too far, someone's going to do something about it. And so it's important to remember that there are continual forces that are attacking our freedoms. And it's as consistent and persistent as the force of gravity itself. And it's not going to stop, and it doesn't sleep, and it is constantly working against us to take away our freedoms. And so we've got to act accordingly. That's what I got.
I think the act accordingly thing in this context means free and open source software. I mean, you just look at Satoshi's example, man. You know, you give it away for free. It's hard because, you know, why anybody would want to put in the time and energy necessary to build up an ecosystem like Telegram or like Signal or something like that. I mean, the amount of resources that goes into that kind of stuff. I guess Signal costs something like, is expected to cost something like $50 million a month to operate. That's the kind of traffic, I guess, that the system gets and the kind of overhead that they have to run it. Like, that's mind-blowing to me. But at the same time, I mean, I guess you just got to figure out a way to make that work, right? Satoshi figured it out. And he did it as free and open source. I just hope that there are enough really smart people who continue to figure out Freedom Tech ways to continue to operate. Wade, what's up?
Do we have a Signal group that's strictly for Nostr, Nostr education, Nostr training that anyone can join? Or should we spin one up and maybe talk about that throughout the week and get people in?
Yeah, I don't know how value added that is for this convo right now, but yeah, we can talk about that offline for sure. Okay, last chance, closing comments.
Yeah, I just want to encourage everyone to get out there and try to learn this Freedom Tech. I've been trying to dig into Nostr and ham radio and the Meshtastic and all that stuff, and I'm turning 40 next month, so I feel really dumb with some of this stuff, but I'm just trying to get consistent, dig in, not be overwhelmed. And we definitely have resources in the VV community of guys that can help you get there, because we all need to have these skills under in our tool belt and to know these Freedom Techs. So get out there and just learn.
Coleman, closing thoughts here?
No, I think we had a great topic today. I want to thank everybody who joined up and contributed to everything.
All righty then, that's a wrap. Thanks for being here. Catch us on the Bitcoin Veterans video podcast every week live here on Twitter at 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. You can also follow the Bitcoin Veterans handle for information on when these things drop. We do these Twitter spaces, which are turned into an audio podcast. You can find on Spotify, everywhere you get your audio pods, 10 a.m. Eastern every day, Monday through Friday. Thanks to all the speakers who are here today and every day that help teach people about this bright orange future. This is what we call getting on the mission. Super important, man. Haven't done anything this important my entire life, basically. I think a lot of the guys feel the same way. When you encounter what Bitcoin is, you understand what the changes that it can make in the world becomes pretty important. It's hope. I mean, we talked about a lot of really kind of dark stuff today. But I do think Bitcoin is hope. If you don't understand why, hang out. You'll figure it out. All right. We will see all of you guys tomorrow, same time. Love you guys. Everybody go out there. Have a great day today and crush it.